Sunday morning. Don't know how long it will be sunny for, because there are heavy showers forecast, but we'll make the most of it whilst it's sunny. And I think for the next 10 days at least, looking at the long-term forecast, we've got sunshine and showers, so and strong winds. So never mind. Welcome you all to Bethlehem this morning, and a special warm welcome to Katie, who will be bringing us God's word later on in the service. And I thank her for all her work towards the service. We have one birthday that I'm aware of, and that's Karen Lemutor. You might wonder why some people still stay on the birthday list, and that's because they still get our notices, because they want to be able to pray for what's going on in Bethlehem. So some people who no longer actually attend here and are in the UK will appear on our birthday list from time to time, but that's because they still get the notices. Tea and coffee will be served across in the hall at the end of the service, so please do go across, leaving the church quiet for anyone who wants prayer. Reminder, Saturday night, film night. 6 o'clock for food, 7:30 for the film, and the film is The Shack. Many of you might have read the book. It's absolutely brilliant, so do come along if you are free. Second Sunday of the month today, so we will have open mic. And if you've read your notices, you will have seen that we're starting a themed preaching next week on Psalms. And we've put a note of what psalm is taking place each week, and we're asking that you would read it and reflect on it prior to the service. Next week is Psalms 91 and 92, if I remember rightly. And what I will do is each week put with the preacher the psalm for the following week. I think that's all I have to say. So we will start with a responsive call to worship. Whom have we come to worship today? We are here to worship the Lord. To whom do we give glory? We give glory to the Lord. We do indeed give him all the honour and praise, because he is the one true God, and there is no one like him. I'm going to read Psalm 29 from the Psalms Now book, which is a bit more modern. We need to give credit to whom credit is due. God is alive, and he deserves our perpetual praises. There is reason for rejoicing. There is a God to worship and love. The skies and the forest manifest his beauty. The sweep of the ocean represents his power. The gigantic bodies suspended in our universe portray his majesty. The wind and the rain, the lightning and the thunder, the creatures that inhabit the land, the flowers that brighten our lives, all this comes from the hand of God. The glory is not ours, but God's. Even the achievements of human hand, mind, and machine come through the wisdom and power of the eternal God. The contributions of science, the fields ripe for harvest, the control of water, air, and space, the establishment of our great institutions, these also reflect the glory of God. Let us give credit to whom credit is due. Let us rejoice in the God who blesses us. Let us seek his grace to serve him by serving others with the abundance that he bestows upon us. Let us pray. Almighty God, the word of the psalm reminds us that your voice is full of your majesty. It is heard everywhere, over the waters, over the dry land, over the forests, over the deserts. It is heard in the wind and the lightning. As we worship you today, make us attentive to your voice, so that like those gathered in your temple, we may bow before you and say, Glory. Amen. And we're now going to sing two songs, Joy to the World and He is Exalted. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you for your creative love and the compassion that all but overwhelms us. We praise you for your love that was the source of all creation and for your grace that is forever seeking the lost, the broken, the defeated, and the forgotten. We praise you for the way your mercy clothes your justice and your forgiveness cleanses our sinful, selfish lives. We praise you for your love that we have met in the life of Jesus Christ and for your truth that gives us hope. We praise you not only that Jesus lived our life and entered our earthly pain, but also that through his death and resurrection, he has assured us that the past has already been dealt with and the future is safe in your hands. We praise you for the coming of the Holy Spirit, who holds our lives and transforms our attitudes. We praise you for the way you fill our minds with your word and our lives with your service. We praise you that though your majesty, glory, and authority mean that it will never be possible to know you completely, the mystery of your sovereignty will always inspire us to worship you. We praise you more that in Christ you have revealed enough of your love and holiness, your grace and your authority, to enable us to know you as Saviour and call you the Lord. We bring our praise in the name of Christ, Sovereign Lord of all things forever. But Father, forgive us the way we treat the other members of our family, and for the way we often show them less consideration and care than we do those who are strangers. We confess that we treat our homes with a carelessness that causes other pain, and we treat those we love sometimes with great indifference. Forgive us our hurtful words and selfish attitudes towards other members of our own family or friends. Forgive us too the insensitive way we respond to other members of your family, and our attitude towards the members of the family of the human race. We pray, teach us to see each person in our home and family and every person we meet as someone for whom Christ has died. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, transform our words and deeds, that all our relationships may be filled with your love, mercy, and grace. And Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone, but have sought us out and welcomed us home. We praise you that in every part of life and at every corner of our lives, your holiness calls us to confess the height of your glory and the depth of our sin. We thank you that you have designed our lives that we can know you and experience your presence, that you have created the world in such a way that everywhere we look, we can see your fingerprints. We are grateful for each person whose words and deeds and whose life and example have spoken to us of you. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, through whom you have made yourself known and knowable, that he lived our life, shared our pain, and overcame our death, that through your Spirit we can begin to know something of your life, love, and joy within us. We thank you that we can enter each day and every situation, and that we can face all life brings us in the knowledge of your loving, caring, sovereign will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now,
to be able to worship as we were praying at the beginning, to come so freely and worship. As you may have picked up from Ali's lovely prayers of confession, today I want us to think about attitude. Firstly, thank you, Brenda. Yeah, well, when you're ready. I'll just keep talking. It's just the slide. It says attitude. Okay, so. Do you see yourself there anyway? I know I certainly do. So, firstly, what is attitude exactly? What is attitude? Well, in the dictionary it tells us this. Thank you, we'll have the next slide. Which I can't read from that distance, so I shall keep my piece of paper a bit closer. It's the way that you think and feel about someone or something, and the way you behave towards someone or something that shows how you think and feel. It is a complicated thing, this attitude, isn't it? And we hear, and already we've heard quite a lot about attitude, and when we were hearing a minute ago in, you know, how Freya, it is displaying a different attitude to that which she normally does. It's a way of being and showing and feeling. And it can be, especially in teenagers, you can think, whoa, but, you know, I've got a 9-year-old who has a lot of attitude. So we use it in that sense, don't we? Attitude. In not perhaps such a positive way. But I want you to listen to this little clip. It's from a young lad called A.J. Dwyer. And he reckons that we should all kids, and aren't we all kids at the end of the day, should have attitude. Thank you, Brenda.
Hey, kids. Today, we're going to learn 3 things every kid needs to know about attitude. Attitude is one of the most important things any kid needs to know. That is, if you want to succeed in life. Have a good attitude, you'll have a good job. Have a bad attitude, you'll end up living in a van, unemployed, down by the river. Now, if you are watching this down in a van by the river, I'm sorry, my apologies, I did not mean to offend you. So anyway, here are 3 things every kid should know about having a good attitude. Number 1. Your attitude is the one thing you can always control. All through life, you have good and bad things happen to you. You can't always control what happens to you. But you can control your attitude. No one else gets to control that. So, maybe you can think about something bad that happened to you and how you responded. One time I was outside playing basketball and I couldn't make... one time I was outside shooting... and I couldn't make a shot. I couldn't control that, but I could control my attitude. And that time, it wasn't very great. Here's the 2nd thing. Good attitudes are a habit. No one is born with a good attitude, although some toddlers are a little more naturally cheery than others. There's me, right there, where my finger's pointing. Pretty cute kid, huh? But not the best attitude. Here's a better shot. A little bit older now. Having some fun on the swing. As I got older, my attitude got better. But that's because I worked on it. Every grown-up that you've met that has a good attitude, had to work on it. They had to develop it through practice, just like any habit.
Here lies the third thing.
The attitude you develop as a kid will follow you through life. That's why I'm making this video, so that you can start working on it right now. If you want to move forward in life, start as a kid.
Work on your attitude so you don't end up living in a van down by the river.
Hey kids, don't forget to use the questions below to talk about this with a teacher or mentor. Subscribe! Please subscribe and keep moving forward.
Isn't he great? And that is what I call a kid with attitude. Wow. But he made 3 points. Incidentally, because I was, I'm always a bit careful when I hear things like that to make sure they come from a good source. And that young lad is now grown. It's a few years ago that he did that. And he's at university. And he says that what he does is simply try to live for Jesus amongst the students. But there was something about that, even told you as a young child, that he was going to live a really Christian faith and live it out. Because, firstly, the thing I noticed was he already gave us a 3-point sermon, didn't he? I think he's got to be Methodist, I really do. The first one was, your attitude is the one thing you can control. Yeah, or not. This is, we've all fallen foul of that one, haven't we? Good attitude is a habit. I would agree with that as well, the more we do something. The attitude you develop as a kid will follow you through life. It's certainly things that we do and habits that we form are really important, and it's much harder to change when we get older, isn't it? But it got me wondering. I wonder what Jesus' attitude was like when he was growing up. You see, we don't hear much about that, do we, in the Bible? We have this wonderful time of celebrating his birth. Now, we're going to move on at some point. I don't know if it's actually in this year group, but that we hear where he did, perhaps his parents would say, have a bit of attitude when he went missing. I don't know if anybody's ever lost anybody. I certainly have. I seriously lost Jen once. Could you believe? At the airport. We were checked in. We were at the gate. They called the flight. Where was Jen? She was missing. She had gone to the loo, which was there, and she was missing. It took everybody. It took the stewards, everybody who were there looking for Jen. The whole plane was loaded and waiting to go, and we couldn't find her. And someone thought, we'll go back through the gate and start again and see. And there she was, in the suite department. How she'd got out, I do not know, but she was totally missing. Now, I can't remember what she told me, but I can't imagine it was ever going to be her fault. You know, it was going to be something, wasn't it? But what did Jesus tell his parents when he went missing? Does anybody remember? Yeah. Didn't you know where I was going to be? You know, like, come on, this is your fault, not mine. Didn't you know? Yeah. He wondered why they were searching, because he knew that there was something that he had to be doing. He had to learn at his father's side. This was where he was going to learn his attitude. The things that would form part of his growing life until he could come to a point where he could teach us and we could learn from him the attitude we should have. You know, the young lad on the clip said, no one can control your attitude. And to an extent, you know, he is right. He is definitely right. For only we ourselves can control it. But the more we learn about Jesus and the more we invite his spirit into our lives, the more we become like him and reflect his very nature. And then we can say, I get my attitude from Jesus. I think there is a slide, but we haven't. We've lost that, perhaps. And it doesn't matter at all if you can't find it. It's there. And again, the next one. I get my attitude from Jesus. I wonder how many people here this morning, including myself, could go around into town or anywhere else wearing that sweatshirt. I get my attitude from Jesus. We could wear it with pride. Oh, yeah. But can we do it? And so, the closer we get to Jesus, the more we know about his attitude. But first, we're going to carry on with this when we do the sermon in a moment. But before that, we are going to sing, River, Wash Over Me, because we're going to be looking at Jesus' baptism. And it is through all this that we share by his grace in living our lives with the right attitude. Thank you, Sheila. We will just pray a moment over all of our children, as Glenys has already done, but we pray again right now for Harrison, Father, as he sits and learns more about you with such passion. Father, we know that you are placing your hand on this young man who is yearning to come and learn more of you. And so we pray right now as he and Linda look at your word. And we pray that you would just fill him with your Holy Spirit. For we ask it in the name of your Son. Amen. And we'll take up our offertory, after which we'll come to our readings.
He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God, the Lord, says. The creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you.
And the second reading is taken from Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Especially first Isaiah. This passage is one of the, in fact it is the first one, of what they call the servant songs. There are four, which we'll find in Isaiah, but this is the first one, the servant song. And this really sets the pattern of who God is going to send. He's sort of trusted envoy on the earth, the servant of the Lord. He's setting out here what his very nature, what his attitude is going to be like, what it needs to be for this to take place, to become fruition. And in here, we can learn so much, can't we? Verse 2. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. Now, Jesus would bring peace. His attitude would be one of peace. There are occasions, which I'm sure we can recall, where he did raise his voice, but that was injustice and righteousness. But always we feel this calming presence of peace. In verse 3, a bruised reed he won't break, a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. You know, he will mend broken lives. He would encourage and enable. He wouldn't put people down, he would build them up. He wouldn't look at the mountain, he'd look at how he could help someone. Again, we had this lovely start to the service, totally unplanned, where we're praying for a young lady. We're building them up. As a church family, we are building them up, encouraging and enabling. Verse 4, 5. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. He's faithful and committed to bring justice. In verse 5, we hear how he brings hope to all people. You know, the God that created the whole heavens and the earth, and he spreads it out, and we can see it and take it for granted, as we often do. We look out and we think, oh yeah, that's lovely. Oh wow, are we blessed? But it's not like that for everyone. And he brings hope. It says he will walk hand in hand. I will take hold of your hand. Wow. Take hold of your hand. Walking hand in hand with God is this feeling of being so close, so safe, so precious. In verse 6, we hear how he would be the light for everyone. He would be radiating God, his Father's love. And he would open the eyes of the spiritual and physically hurting ones. He would bring healing. He would release people from bondage, both spiritually and morally. Wow. You know, that's a pretty impressive list of attitudes to need to have, isn't it? And we can look at it and think, but you know, we mustn't get confused here, because God isn't bestowing this directly on us. This is what he is calling his chosen one to be, his perfect one, the one we now know as Jesus, the Messiah, the one we were singing with joy to as we welcomed into the world at the beginning of the service. We were welcoming as our King, the one who invites us to learn attitude from him. A Christ-like attitude. We heard from the gospel reading that Jesus chose to be baptized. He was without sin. He didn't need to be baptized from that point of view, but he chose it. He chose it not only to fulfill the scriptures, because as we read in Isaiah, that is what was going to have to happen. But he chose it not only for that reason, he chose it to be like one of us, to be on a level playing field. This amazing Son that God sent us chose to be like us. His baptism was, of course, also an opportunity to show his authority that God had sent him as his chosen son, that he was not only a good preacher, not only a rabbi that really drew the crowds, but he was God's chosen son. And this gave him authority to show that, to display that. How? Well, it was that moment, wasn't it? When God says, I'll do this bit. Wait a minute. What does he do? As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. In this moment, we experience the beauty of the Trinity. The Father speaking so passionately his approval and delight as how to Jesus has lived the first 30 years of his life, how his attitude and attributes mean that he can fulfill this mission with righteousness. The Son, recognizing that the time has come. This is the start, this moment is the start of his messianic ministry. And he is becoming one of us. And thereby identifying himself with sin. He is free of sin, but he is identifying himself with sin. Sin that he would later take upon himself on the cross for all of us. And then we have the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus to equip him for his work as the divine human Messiah. There are many, many times that I would love to have been there. I would love to have been one of those people out in this rather open and crude desert place. I would love to have been there. I'd like to think that I wasn't so bound up at being perhaps in the building in Jerusalem that I didn't go there. I would love to have been in that moment. I bet you would too. Well, the good news is, we are there. We all live in that moment. For as believers, we are his disciples. His flesh and blood presence here on earth. And at the end of Jesus' life, what did he do? He instructed his disciples, that's us, and all those who have been before us, to make more disciples of all nations. None of this unbiased criticism. This is all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You find that in Matthew further along in 28. Now, we don't physically perform baptism of new disciples, as did John, although he only did it with water, not with the Spirit. All of those that Jesus sent out on the Great Commission, now in our way, we don't do that. What we do is we leave that for our ministers or our pastors or our leaders to do the physical part of the baptism of new believers. But what we do is show everybody a Christ-like attitude that will cause them to desire to give their lives totally to Jesus. And if we're still not sure after that wonderful passage in Isaiah what a Christ-like attitude should look like, let me just turn to Philippians. Philippians 2 and read what Paul has to say, and I join him with this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Before we move on, shall I just remind you what that attitude looked like? Perhaps we take a moment to really think, is this my Christ-like attitude? Do I bring peace in difficult situations? Am I always there to encourage and enable those whose lives are a little broken at the moment? Am I faithful and committed to bringing justice? Do I bring hope to people? How am I at walking hand in hand with God? Do I offer my hand into His, which is always there waiting? Do I radiate God's love? Do I pray for spiritual and physical healing? Do I stand alongside those in bondage, be it spiritually or morally? A Christ-like attitude would be very difficult, if not for one thing that we heard once again in Isaiah: God's Spirit would be upon Jesus, and because of Jesus and His saving power, by His grace, His Spirit lives within us. When we ask, we will receive. And so, I'm just going to finish with a little prayer of confession, although we've already had a wonderful prayer of confession. Because, you see, it also says in Philippians further along that when we can do these things, we will shine like stars. And isn't that what we need to be doing for Jesus, shining like stars? And so we pray, Lord Jesus, even though You did no wrong and did not need to be forgiven, You chose to be baptized. You chose to be like us. We're sorry when we make wrong choices. We're sorry when we don't have the right attitude. We're sorry when we don't put our hand in Yours and so choose to go the wrong way. Father, help us to follow Your perfect example. Help us to have the right attitude to all those, be it in our home, be it in our workplace, be it in the church, be it in the world. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, for all those times we get it wrong, and help us to show humility and obedience as You did. And so become shining stars for You. For we ask it in Your precious name. Amen. So we're going to sing. Thank you, Sheila, again. Oh, Sheila, you must be wearing the carpet out there, I'm sure. And for which there is a response. So when you hear the words, in God, the response, all things work together for good. And so we pray. As Jesus is baptized, the Spirit of God rests visibly on Him, marking Him out as the one who will save His people. Let us attune our hearts to the God who loves us as we pray. God of love, we pray for all those who are newly baptized who have received or who have recently found that you are real. We pray for all in ordained and lay ministries, and we pray especially right now for Sally, who this week will find out where her placing is. We pray for all those who lead. And for those who are sensing a special calling. And Father, we pray for Janet as she steps out on her calling to train for local preaching. And we pray for Lorraine, feeling called to ordained ministry. Help us to listen to your guiding. In God, all things work together for good. God of power, we pray for those who are in authority and in positions of influence and responsibility. We pray for our states of Jersey. We pray for leadership everywhere, be it in schools, be it in workplaces. Wherever people are in influence, Father, we pray that they would find humility and be courageous in integrity, that they would be mindful of the need to serve. And above all, Father, we pray that they would lead guided by you. In God, all things work together for good. God of mercy, we call to mind those with whom we share the work and leisure of our life. We pray for those we treasure and those we battle with. We ask that you breathe into all our relationships the forgiving love which cleanses and heals. In God, all things work together for good. God of wholeness, we remember those who are aching today, in body, in mind, or in spirit, knowing that nothing is unredeemable. We ask that you will bring good even out of these barren places. In God, all things work together for good. God of life, we pray for those whose earthly lives have ended. We remember those who have died violently and tragically, suddenly and unprepared. We give you thanks for lives well lived and for happy memories. May they rest in the eternal peace of heaven. In God, all things work together for good. And we have a time of prayer, either in your hearts or out loud, where you can bring those that are particularly on your heart right now. Father, I give you thanks for all those little ones and families that came to Mercy Church on Tuesday. Father, we thank you for their passion and their enthusiasm and their joy and the exuberance in which they worship you. And Father, we just pray that for more and more children, be it at Mercy, be it here, be it anywhere, that they would find that joy in knowing you. So, Father, we thank you, and we pray for Messy Bears as they start up again tomorrow, that no matter how tiny, a little seed is sown that carries on through to Messy Church and beyond. Our Father, be with all of the parents struggling to make ends meet and having to work ridiculous hours in many cases and juggle childcare. All these things, Father, are not the pattern of life that many of us have grown up in. And we do pray that there would be, once again, a gentler way of being family. And Father, we thank you for all the prayers that we have heard. We know that you are a God of faithfulness, and we thank you for the way you always keep your promises and never let us down. And Father, the time of waiting is hard, but we know that ultimately you will be victorious. And so we thank you, and we offer up these prayers in the name of your chosen one, the one who came to bring peace, hope, amen. So we're going to sing our final song this morning.